This is an I Am Listening exclusive podcast.
Although that was a big criteria, I was really concerned that we wouldn't be able to find anywhere that except a dog and a rabbit in central London.
You're listening to Jeans and an Ice Top, your go-to podcast when it comes to navigating adulting and the big life stuff, with me, Chels. With no guidebook, most of us are fumbling through life, trying to remember to take the bins out, with no real idea what we want to do career-wise, what on earth love is, and did anyone mention taxes? Through some oversharing, way too many cups of coffee, and some little nuggets of advice, I hope to make the existential crisis that bit more bearable by reminding you that you're not alone. And sometimes it's about focusing on the things we can control and keeping things simple, like jeans and a nice top.
Hey team, and welcome to another episode of Jeans and a Nice Top podcast. And this week we are blessed with the one and only Nancy Elzer, and she is my first in-person podcast recording. I can't explain how amazing it was to just sit on the sofa with a tinny and just chat with my gaff. We have a special guest in this week's episode, which is Ozzy, the crazy dog that brought so much love and light to this episode. You're probably going to hear him a lot in the background, but who doesn't love dogs? If you're not a dog person, get off the podcast. No, I'm joking. Please stay. We love you. Anyway, in this episode, we debunk all of the myths, the good, the bad, and the ugly of the modelling industry, and we dissect hype versus habit and what the must-haves are in the skincare and the beauty industry, which is Nancy's fabulous specialism. This girl knows everything when it comes to beauty, skincare, well-being for your face. I hope you enjoy this episode as much as I do. As always, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Follow me on Instagram at SmileToHealth. And if you like poetry, check out my book on Amazon at Curse to Feel. Ciao! Hey team, and welcome to season 2 of Jeans and a Nice Top Pod. I am super excited about this week because it's my first in-person interview. Like, I'm actually sat in a house with a tinny, living my best life. It's still warm outside. We have a third guest who might get here. Third guest, second guest throughout, which is the gorgeous Ozzy, the most beautiful dog you will ever meet. Crazy, but beautiful. And more importantly, this week's guest is the sensational Nancy Elzer. She is a model, beauty junkie, business owner, and digital marketing consultant. She is the embodiment of cool and rock and roll, something that I just could never meet. Like, your level of cool is up here, and I'm like the nerdy friend that's fangirling right now. And I'm just so excited for you guys to meet her because she's just the most down-to-earth, authentic, fabulous human being. And yeah, I just feel very lucky to know her. So, for those who don't know you, tell us who you are and what you do.
Hello. I'm Nancy. I'm Nancy. I'm Chelsea's friend. And yeah, I used to model, and now do digital marketing, and I am a dog and a rabbit mum.
The best. The rabbit is called Gilbert. The rice, we all don't know. And he's a stud muffin.
He is. He's a cool dude.
And you definitely are downplaying yourself there. Like, you are so much cooler than you give yourself. Like, casually a model, casually owning your business, casually like know everything that you could ever need to know about skincare and
life.
Thank you, Nat. But my personal Caroline Irons.
I love her.
Me too, I'm obsessed. Her Instagram is like
that. She's unreal. I met her a couple of times at Pixie events and I was like, hi, I'm like a really big fan.
I bought her book, but I randomly saw it.
I know, sir.
Oh, skincare bundle. I just love the way she writes, because she makes me laugh so much.
It's like talking to a friend, isn't it?
Yeah, but since she writes her makeup wipes, and she was like, don't fucking use it.
Yeah.
Unless you want to feed your bunny at a festival,
don't use it. Don't do it. But don't do it. I agree.
She's right. Just like that. So funny.
Straight to a point.
Okay, so it was she like exactly like that.
Yeah, she was so cool. She was dead cool. She told me she liked my t-shirt. And I was like, this is just what it must be like to meet, like, Harry Styles. Guys, she said she'd like my t-shirt. I think it was a Limp Bizkit t-shirt or something. I was not appropriately dressed for that event whatsoever.
Anyway, to ease you in, because the basis of the podcast is all about adulting, life hacks, real life, juicy little love. What are three things in life that you can't live without?
My last guest is like a desert island kind of vibe. It can be anything. It can be a person. It can be a food. It can be a CD.
Oh, God. Well, oh, there's so many, though, that so many routes I could go down.
I know.
I mean, for sure, the animals.
They can count as one.
They can count as one. The animals can count as one. My mum. I speak to my mum every day.
Me too.
Yeah, me and my mum are super close. And then probably my Spotify. I listen to music. Oh, I've got such a... It's all very random.
Oh, you know when they do breakdown for, like, the Spotify?
It really could be anything. Like, it really could. It could be reggae. It could be rap. It could be, like, emo rock. It could be, like, metal. It could be, like, yeah. Ariana Grande, maybe. You know, like, it really... Like, I'll put it on shuffle and I'll be going, literally, Limp Bizkit, Ariana Grande, Eminem, like, just fancy, like, it will just go.
I love that.
But yeah, I love my music, so the dog, the rabbit, my mum, and my music. And Ozzy would have the squeaky crocodile.
That's all.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I love it, the reality of Jim Bersin. So...
You're gonna go for it. Okay, right. Chill out. You've got the clock. We're all happy and good.
We're happy as I. We've got the gin.
You've got your crocodile. Okay.
Okay, so that's quite a key mix because you've got your animals for the joy.
Yeah.
And your mom. So I had to ask her editing
before I do it.
Why? Do you know what she's enough until they're like, oh, some girls that I would score his head like this?
Yeah.
And they're all like, oh, it's got like 18 heads out. I was like, it's not till you're 18. No, like, I'm 25 and cool, I'm on every day.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just... I'm just like,
it's like a routine, like, every morning go walk, we'll be wrong.
Yeah.
Like, she's all right, see what she's doing the day. Then my about lunchtime, I want to see what she's having for lunch.
Yeah.
Hey, check here. Your dog's just launched his crocodile toy across my living room.
She
has chosen at this moment to go absolutely nuts.
You need to cut the revive us. You just farted. That smells like what? Something died in your bowel. What the man?
It's what we made. He eats absolutely everything. It's really quite concerning. He ate a vape. He ate a vape pod. He eats rocks. The vape pod ended up in a very sudden vet appointment.
But you see, it's all good, everyone.
He's all good. But yeah, you can't leave him unattended for a second. It's a lot.
It's a lot. Why do it?
You'll roll off.
What made you want to get a dog?
I've always loved dogs. I always grew up with dogs. My parents always had like two dogs at a time. My grandparents had dogs and they're always border collies. So, like, dogging dogs. Like,
my nan and grandma's had a border collie.
Yeah.
We love them.
Yeah, they're gorgeous. And, I've always worked from home. I worked for myself. And then when I started digital marketing, I worked from home. I love animals. And obviously, I've got Gilbert the rabbit. Gilbert the rabbit came first. He's my firstborn. And then I moved into my last flat, which had a garden. And the landlord was happy with me getting a dog. And so... I got Ozzy.
Did you get him rescue or did you?
He's a Romanian rescue. So yeah, he was found, him and his litter were all found in a ditch, they were all hypothermic, in the north of Romania. And then you get paid 50 euros for every stray dog you bring into the shelter in Romania. Oh, wow. And then they get 2 weeks to be claimed before they're put down. If they're not claimed, they get put down. So the charity horse to rescue going and they say like the dog that they think that they're going to be able to be home in the UK and Ozzy.
That's amazing. Oh, you're a little savior baby.
I actually applied to adopt a three-legged dog. But he wasn't suitable for the city. So I talked to them. I was like, I need a dog that's going to be good with other animals and that you think will adapt to city life. And they sent me a few over, and along with Ozzy came a video of him with a cuddly toy very similar to the crocodile cuddly toy that he's playing with now. and who was prancing along the street with it in his mouth, looking ever so happy, and just it was just the cutest video ever. And I was like, he looks like an idiot. He looks like trouble.
I'm a little dog because I don't feel like I'd be able to manage a big one.
I've only ever had big dogs. I thought about getting a little, a smaller dog, but I don't know. They are gorgeous. I know a lot of my friends have like smaller, like one of my friends has a Brussels Griffin and Pomeranians, and they have them.
So never wore dresses out.
He loves little dogs.
Ah.
I met a Brussels Griffin today, actually. Quite like him too, but
I love
him. Yeah, I do like having that. It's the only form of exercise that I do. I hate all forms of exercise. I despise it. But I enjoy walking because I get to listen to my music. So
yeah, it's like a really, and I feel walking so underestimated.
It's like I walk about 10-15k a day with him. It's great.
So,
yeah, I love it because like
so good to
get me out. He loves it. And I knew I wanted a dog that I would be able to walk.
Yeah,
a considerable distance. So he could go for another 10 or 15k a day. I think
you're just like, I've had it out.
Yeah,
but he's good to get you out as well. And I guess that, like, especially during the lockdown, he was probably like an absolute anchor.
Definitely, good boy. Well, I'm gonna drink it now. Hopefully, we'll chill out a little bit.
He's calming down a bit. I'm so glad that you were like, yeah, I'm just social, because I feel like getting it out in the city is really hard.
Yeah. My previous flat, I had a flat share, the garden flat, was just up the road from where I am now. And that landlady was really super cool. We got on really well, like we would text and stuff. She was really lovely. And I said I could really like a dog. She was like, yeah, what? Like,
yeah.
Like, as long as it's not, you know.
One of those dogs that are the size of a small human.
Yeah, like a Pajero. I moved in, I don't know, about 6 weeks ago to with recording this, and now I live on my own, and obviously that was a big criteria. I was really concerned that I wouldn't be able to find anywhere that except a dog and a rabbit in central London.
Such a new specification,
like,
as well.
And all of my, I had to say, hey, who's calling me? You're like, did you say dog and rabbit? I'll be like, yeah.
That's
correct. Like, okay. And then they would be like, okay, well, that narrows down what I can show you. Sorry, but
like the rabbit's really the defining factor there.
Okay, it was a rabbit. Everyone was like, a rabbit?
They're just like,
I think a house rabbit called Ozzy. House rabbits are getting increasingly in an hour.
Yeah, because they're a more manageable pet. It's like,
well, you say that.
It's very true. So it's like my friend got a guinea pig, and then she realised she can't get one because they get known places.
Yeah.
Why two?
Yeah.
And then she might have to say goodbye and then the female one, so then they have a baby. Oh, and then she like two guinea pigs everywhere.
And then you can't, at least the rabbit, they
are self sufficient, aren't they?
They are, and they can learn to go to the toilet in one particular area, whereas guinea pigs are just walking shit machines. I used to have guinea pigs growing up. Rabbits, like, you can litter quite in them.
Really?
Yeah.
I well understand that.
Albert is somewhat littered.
I want to delve more into your modelling career, because I felt we know so much about the big face models. We still don't know a lot about actual modelling.
Yeah.
What goes on, how you get into it, the reality of it. Was it something you always knew you wanted to do, or did you kind of stumble into it? Did it get scouted? No, that's quite common.
It was kind of a bit of a weird one, really. I had glandular fever. It sounds like completely unrelated, but it is related. I had glandular fever when I was taking my ASLs, and got it really quite badly. I can get to varying degrees, but I was in hospital and stuff, and I ended up having to take the year out of school. And it was, I believe, getting varying degrees, but I had it quite badly. I was in hospital for a bit. I had to take the next year off. I had a lot of complications because of it. And so I didn't go to school for the whole year. I lost a lot of weight as well. And then I was kind of like, I wanted to be a vet, was what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a vet. And then I was kind of like, oh my God, my whole like life plan has been derailed here. I hated school. Like, I didn't like my school at all. Like, it wasn't for me.
I feel like the school system's so rigid as well. It doesn't adapt how different people learn.
Absolutely.
So school year group are just a bunch of knobs.
Yeah, I didn't get, I think I was very much a an introvert, and I felt a lot of pressure.
And it's so hard because you're expecting to figure out your whole life, and if you
I felt fully rushed into it, but like I thought, I loved animals. I got the subject that I'm good at, kind of would allow me to go on, hopefully, be a vet. But yeah, so that kind of got derailed, and then to kind of like the thought of going back to school again, which I hated, and I think probably was a major part of why I think the stress of, like, I really did not enjoy it.
I think it can be like such a hard time, because I took a gap year to provide 2 years of college because I was really poor day.
Yeah,
and I ended up backpacking in that year.
I think I remember on Facebook
seeing it. Like, this and it was like, so yeah, and it's so weird because I was so academic. I was on the track for Oxbridge.
Yeah.
And I just went, no.
Don't do it.
I'm literally, and the worst thing was that on the second relapse, it wasn't intentional. I was just so stressed and so busy. I didn't know how to look after myself.
Yeah.
I just kind of fell into that pattern. And it wasn't until I was like, I'm not looking after myself. I need to sort this out. But I totally relate to you in the sense that I went away and had to come back.
Yeah.
Finish it. I'm in a year where I don't know anyone.
It was not. Yeah.
The environment, it's just, I think because we're going so creative as well.
I think so. There's so much pressure and you're expected to be, I think especially if you're in any way academic, the pressure that, because we both went to state schools,
Sure
that's put on you to then remain academic and be a high achiever and be kind of like a good statistic for that school.
Oh yeah, and it's all about making them look good.
Yeah,
care about you, like
you're not supported. You know, and I think that was probably both was like a stress of that and wanting to good and wanting to be a perfectionist and wanting to achieve. That happened. I was like, I do not want to go back to school. Well, do they know how we met? Probably not.
I don't know.
Chelsea actually met. This kind of ties it. It was. I dropped a lot of weight and then I looked anorexia. Me and Chelsea met on an anorexia recovery Facebook group, I think.
What? I think that was actually thinking back to it now. I mean, the whole time is like a complete
blur. Same. But it all ties in because at about that time I was going to start modelling. And I started modelling with a agency profile that are in London. They were a really good agency. I think they're still going. They're like a little boutique. And it kind of, I got signed and it was like, can you do this full time? Do you have it, are you doing anything else? And I went, no, they were like, okay, great, you're full time. We'll send you. And then it was like,
wow,
straight into stuff. I'd been to London, so I'm from Northampton. I'd been to London maybe a handful of times.
Yeah.
Like with my family. And then
such a big scary city outfit and doing it.
Well, I was expecting next day, when you're modelling, you get an email at 5 o'clock for your schedule for the next day. You have no idea what you're going to be doing the next day. Like very rarely do you get a heads up.
Find even the type of shoe or like the brand or anything.
If you book a shoe, sometimes, and it's a big one especially, sometimes you will get like a little bit of a heads up. But like for castings or like one-off, like smaller random shoots, you literally will have no idea. So that was quite, at the time I was struggling with, that's when I was pretty deep in the anorexia.
Yeah.
And so my anxiety was through the roof anyway.
Gotcha. And then the last, why do we do this? I'm exactly the same. I went into the acting industry, which is the most like unstable, unpredictable.
Literally.
And
you're like, you don't know what you're doing.
We situated ourselves well there.
We really did. So then I literally started modelling full time. So I went from going to London a handful of times with my family into the next day. It was like, you need to be in North London at 9 a.m. You need to be here at 10, there at 11 for all these different castings and go sees. And the next day you've got a test shoot here. And like navigating my way around London, like it was ever so exciting. Yeah, it was really exciting that to go from a year of like being really unwell, dropping all of this weight, dealing with anorexia, kind of realizing that I'd got myself into this hole, and then also at the same time
being so excited about these new opportunities and finding something that you were passionate about and you hate school.
And then also adjusting to the fact, okay, well, maybe I'm not meant to go to uni, maybe I'm not meant, that's path isn't meant for me, maybe it's this path. And yeah, so that's how I got into it. That sounds awful.
I think you hear all these fantasy stories, like, oh, I got scouted in Topshop.
Yeah.
And actually, a lot of the time, it can fall into people's habits. Like, I think the reason I wanted to be a performer was because my mom took me to see a show.
And you loved it.
And I loved it. Yeah, and I think if I hadn't just seen that and how I was friends in the show, if my mom's friend's friend, was in the show and she took me backstage around Love Cast and she was a fairy. And I was obsessed because she was glittery and just at me then.
That's such a menu.
I'm so gun on you. And like, I was like, you're just like a giant sparkle. I want to do this. And everyone was so big, extroverted and loud and big. And I was like, I couldn't fit in at school and I didn't really, I couldn't understand why I felt that was the place I'm fit. I took you back to and like, it's absolute sliding doors, I think, with creating industries.
Absolutely. It's something that you find yourself in and you're like, oh, actually, this is kind of, I found that I was quite good at the photo shoots, which was funny because I was such an introvert during like my teenage years. Yeah. And I found that actually I was strangely confident in front of the camera and I kind of felt like I knew what I was doing to a degree.
Do you think Irene brought you out of Woodshop?
Absolutely, yeah.
But aside from obviously all the stuff that we know about and complexities of,
I think that with modelling, it's so, it is... You have to grow up fast and you learn so many more skills than just how to look pretty in front of a camera. You're meeting different people every day. You're having to introduce yourself to people. You're having to hold conversations with different people. Like,
and it's long working hours as well.
You've got to have a good work ethic. You've got to be like punctual and on time. And you've got to make sure that you're, you know, performing to your best. Because at the end of the day, you're getting paid to turn up and look a certain way. And they need to get a end shot at the end of it and they're going to shoot until
they get that shot.
And at the same time you learn kind of about how to stand up for yourself to a degree as well, because people will take the piss
and not give
the breaks that you need and it's like a it is like getting thrown in at a deep end and being like, all right, it's like you sink or you swim. Like, I mean, you have to either learn get a little bit more confident and be able to stand up and be yourself.
Thrown into the adult world, but you don't even
absolutely.
You don't even have an option. You have to be able to adapt. And I found that a lot with, in comparison to my friends. Like, I'm not dissing you at all. I think some of my friends are.
Oh yeah, my brother and my sister went to uni, and they both.
Yeah, and like it's
absolutely the right decision for them.
Yeah, but I feel like in a way you're screwed up to be amongst a child.
You really are.
Whereas Jonathan was very much the same. So I think there's a lip in my ear hole. You're really needy today.
You're so needy.
Yeah, it's one of those situations where it's that thing where you have to adapt to. I mean, like you said, multiple conversations, different environments. You're put under high pressure, high stress all the time.
Yeah.
So you're not out. It's almost like you get stuck in that fight or flight mode because you kind of constantly have to be in it in order to keep going. I feel like stress was the foundation in which I built my life because I was so consistently under stress.
On edge constantly.
Yeah, it was like, I've got deadlines for me. I've got to be here. I've got to be there. I've got so much work to do. And like you said, then you've got the external pressures. Yeah, so I totally relate, and I think that the creative industry teaches you a lot.
Absolutely, absolutely. People skills, life skills. Yeah, it really does. You've got to think on your feet. Like, the amount of times I was so shy, and like the amount of times I'd get lost going to a casting or something, I couldn't really Google Map. Couldn't work out where I was. Like,
this was like pre-City Mapper days as well.
Yeah. Like, it'd be like, right, I have to like get over this like social anxiety. Like, I used to be scared to like go and pay for something at the till or something. Like, I used to have terrible social anxiety. And like, I couldn't be more different now. But like, I think like the first I would be stuck, I paid for my ticket to come to London to do these castings. I haven't gone to this casting because I can't find it. I've got to ask somebody. Yeah. And just like you don't have a choice here. Like, so you need to ask somebody, do you know where this is? Or please could you point me to the nearest tube station? Because I haven't got a fucking clue where I am. And I'm going to be stuck here for the considerable future. Like, it kicks anything, like, it kicks you into gear.
Yeah, it probably taught you way more than you ever learned at school.
Absolutely, without a doubt.
I think so many people think the preconception of modelling is that you won the genetic lottery.
Yeah.
And it's easy, you just pose. I've worked London and Paris Fashion Week behind the scenes, and I've seen how much you guys, you know, you work 20 plus hour days, you're on your feet the whole time.
Yeah.
But I underestimate how much, like, if you think about when you're shopping, how tired you are from trying to
buy. Oh my God, e-commerce, shooting.
Like, yeah.
Jesus.
There's some of the stories I've heard. Do you have a favourite art of modelling that you like, and then like the least favourite?
I used to really enjoy the editorials.
Yeah.
Which were the ones that you don't get paid for. but they were always the most, I think probably in part because there was no money
exchange hands, it was just really creative, and you would turn up and like you wouldn't know what you were getting dressed up as or anything, and that was really good fun. I always liked the editorials because it was way more creative and it was way more laid back. And then probably my least favourite was I did a few e-commerce shoots, and that was long days. Oh my god, when you start, you get sent on like very low paid jobs, which are sometimes student, like fashion student shoots. Yeah, they were just sometimes, some of them were incredible. And then some of the time, like it would just be like first year fashion student who's just trying it out and they're experimenting. You're just like there for the day and just like, I look ridiculous. My makeup is absolutely insane. I'm wearing like, because I'm sure they would get sent like all sorts of strange assignments, like sometimes you're wearing a literal bin bag. Like, it would just be god. And then like the shooting outside in the cold, I mean, a lot of fun. Oh my
god, yeah. I always watch all of these programs like Survival. What's his name? Bear Grylls,
yeah.
And I'm like, I could do it if it wasn't for the cold.
You won't do cold.
That's the only thing.
You both being like, having had anorexia, just bring that. Yeah,
because you don't know the level of cold. Until you don't have any body fat.
Then you know cold.
Because your skin literally grows extra hair. Literally. It's not beautiful. I know that's a morbid joke and it's so true.
My worst shoot was Tom Lee. It was in January, and it was for a stockings brand.
Oh,
and gosh. It had been decided that it would be a great idea to shoot in Highgate Cemetery.
Beautiful place, but
stunning in January. And I was wearing like knee-high stockings and then pants, and then like I had a t-shirt on, but they were shooting my legs. Oh, I've never known cold like it.
Oh my god. Also, like, do your nipples.
Oh god, it was a lot. I'm like, I don't do cold. The heating is constantly on.
Yeah, me. I'm like, after the heating on, so like,
yeah,
I can cope.
I take a hot water bottle to bed with me, like, up until probably like the last 3 weeks, I've had a hot water bottle in bed with me. Don't do cold.
Any with you, I did a lot of extras work when I was younger, and that's like, was so
you're great. Way around.
I've had long days, they don't open the tops. Like, yeah. I probably learned the most from those kind of jobs. The jobs where you're not paid a lot, you're not really respected.
Yeah.
Because I actually got to know people on the ground floor.
Yeah.
And actually, it was funny because I ended up making friends with the makeup artist from a different job, and she remembered me on the second one. And bless her, I hate what this job that's going to haunt me for the rest of my life. But I was the tea bag in the Yorkshire Tea commercial.
Fuck off, that's when I love Yorkshire Tea.
The biscuit tea is like one you find in offer. I just go through Yorkshire box for when you get to work. I'm so ridiculous about cups of tea. I'm like, anyone got a tea? I have a tea.
Oh, I do. Sorry, Rich.
I want an hour.
Yeah, same. Yeah. No. Oh, especially when you work from home.
Yeah, because you're just like, what can I do?
Oh, make a tea.
Oh, it's like that, because there's a good debate actually about like PG tips and Yorkshire.
No, Yorkshire teas right up there.
Yeah, 100% with you, yeah. But
they were.
Yeah, so it's good. But advert, it was so cold. It was meant for a summer campaign. And they were shooting in. But I'm
always the same with fashion. You're always shooting
ahead of time.
Yeah.
And it was so cold. I'm tiny. And I've got a stupid little tea bag outfit on. And then the makeup artist took pity on me and stuck all of these heat packs on my back.
Oh,
it's so funny.
You do meet some such ordinary people.
Oh my goodness, I appreciate you so much. Like,
when you meet smartphones.
Yes, oh my goodness, yeah.
But you do meet the sweetest people.
But every now and then we'll get someone that's like a pocket of gold, and she stuck about 10 of these heat packs on my back.
Oh,
but hidden underneath this stupid tea bag costume.
And you just then read it. I need it all here.
And I know my friend Lauren is going to listen to this, and she haunts me with it every year. Every time it's my birthday, she finds the leaks, the YouTube.
Fantastic.
She has screenshots, everything, and it's everywhere. She puts it on every form of social media she can find. It haunts me. I'm an energy after it. So I won't say if, let's manifest it. When I make it as a successful at four, that's going to be that thing that.
On Graham Norton.
Yeah.
That you bring my up. Yeah.
I'll bring it up. And I mean, at least I drink it. I did a Cathedral City advert and I'm allergic to dairy.
The irony.
I didn't enjoy a bit of cathedrals.
I got given loads of the one minis of the extra Richard. It's my dad of Greentown.
Yeah.
I was just a bit.
Did you get given loads of Yorkshire tea?
Yeah.
Brown nose.
Highlights. Small little packs.
Yeah. Don't pay me. Just pay me tea.
Just give me all
the tea. Life quite tea with celery.
What I'd love to know is, going back to, did you ever have those interviews with the career counsellors
at school? I don't think I did, not that I can remember. I think there's the other school in my town did, and we never got around
that's
to
that. Probably a good thing.
Yeah, I don't know how useful it was to do.
Especially if you want to be creative, it's like, no.
How about give up?
Yeah, how about just don't do that?
Yeah.
But what were your parents' response to you come and be a model?
My mum was super excited. So my mum is a special needs teacher. Oh, and my dad, wonderful. I don't know what my dad does. Something in coding for stuff. I don't know. He's on computers.
Yeah.
he pisses about on computers. but my mum was like, this is so exciting. And my dad was like, I mean, yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, cool. You're out of the house in the day. That's great. You're away from me. You're not bothering me. That's fine. My mum was really excited. Yeah, and they my mum loved seeing the, it's exciting seeing, the pictures come back. And, every time if I'd ever get in a magazine or something, she'd get it. And then I never really spoke to my dad so much about it. But then I remember, showing him I got my portfolio. This is back in the day when you used to have a portfolio as an actual book. iPads. Before I finished modelling, I had my iPad and it was on my iPad. But it used to be a huge, heavy book
to carry.
You had to carry around. I remember getting my book back and being like, Dad, you have to look at my book, making him sit and go through it. And I could see he was like, Oh, okay. All right.
Then, I can feel the cry. The cry is there.
Yeah.
Because my dad's the same. He's so good at the builder. He's got some shows, some music and stuff that he likes. When he came to see my third year shows at drama school, my mum said he literally sat on the edge of the seat the whole time.
Oh, it's
just watching. And it's they're so cute. Trying out they're so cool. But actually,
You can sing. Yeah.
And I think that's so important when you're doing something creative. Because I've got so many friends that sided against it or have not pursued it because their family haven't been supported.
Sure.
And I think actually one thing the creative sector's do bring is really awesome friends. Really cool.
Yeah. All of my friends that I met through pretty much all of them. I think all of them are really. I've met through either models or makeup artists or photographers and stuff, and they're all fantastic people and very lucky to be friends with them. So yeah, you do meet some really, really cool people.
Do you end up doing shoots with the same people? I know with acting, you're on casting types, so you tend to see the same people.
Yeah, for castings and stuff, you're sent off with all of the other 5, 8, 9 blonde-haired, blue-eyed commercial girls that are similar body type to you. You meet the same people on castings often, again and again. I met my best friend on a shoot, Caroline. Yeah, she kind of... We're not really very similar, but we're both 5'8 with blonde hair and blue eyes. But we met on a proper shoot. She's got shorter hair than me. So, yeah, and then there's lots of, there were. I don't know anymore, really. But it was kind of when Instagram was really becoming a thing, especially for, remember, it was very important to have Instagram. And then influencer stuff was kind of becoming a thing. So... When I kind of started and for the first few years, especially, that was when there were a lot of influencer events and model events and stuff with brands, and I met a lot of my friends through events. A model lounge at one point. There were a couple actually.
I think that's the thing, the Sex and the City glamorous. Oh my gosh, all of these cool events.
You had to show your agency or something, I can't remember exactly, but and it was free food and coffee and teas and drinks and stuff from between 9 and 6, which is So if you had like a 2 hour break between casting, you could just go and chill. And it was below Tank. I think they had at one point it was like the W Hotel, and then it was at Tank. But then I actually met my old flatmate, Sarah and Lucy, who I'm always speaking about, who have a swimwear company now. I met them there with Caroline, who I'd met on a shoot, and then
And I'm totally going to guess.
I was going to have a word.
Because they founded this company called Adora Swim. The most beautiful swimwear you will ever see in your life. And oh my God, I just want to exist in that. Well, on my body, 24/7, that's what I need in life. I'm here for it. Everyone was sort of very negatively about the modeling industry, so I'm going to flip on the positive. What was your favourite thing about being a model?
Meeting the friends that I met, and I had so much fun. Like, it was great. Like, there were shit times, but it was really, really good fun. I wouldn't change it for the world. Like, I met such amazing people. I loved seeing, like, the pictures. I loved the actual shoots. Like, towards the end, it was definitely time for me to, I was over it. But I loved creating these images. It's fun, it's exciting. We got to do a bit of traveling. Like,
I was going to say, that travel was part of it.
Yeah, I did, I think the best one, my favourite one, where I did a shoot for a caftan, like a high-end caftan company in Monte Carlo. That was so cool. Yeah, there's so many. Like, you've got to take it for what it.
Yeah.
For what it is.
Yeah. It's one of those three, that thing, where it's like, if it was easy, everyone would do it.
Yeah. And I think there's so many beautiful, beautiful girls and guys.
Yeah. And it's a lot harder than people give it credit for.
You've got to really be determined. Like, I think.
Yeah. Would you say that it's even more competitive now than it was before because of the rise of the influencer?
I think so. I think it's changed. I mean, you're probably better off asking, you know, some of the girls that are still in it when you get Sarah and Lucy on. But, like, yeah, it would appear so. Like, brands are using influencers now. They're not using models. Every agency has they all have, whether you've got a following or not, if you're a model that's signed there, you have your Instagram attached to your portfolio. Like, it's a huge, huge part.
So I guess in a way that taught you a lot of sales that then transitioned into
this. Absolutely. That was all part of it. That was why I wanted to build my own Instagram and kind of learn a little bit more about social media, because, you know, you go to these castings and you're in a queue of hundreds sometimes of these stunning girls, and you're never going to be the tallest, the skinniest, the prettiest.
And half the time it's never even about that.
It's not. And so you've got to do something that's going to make you kind of stand out or make a lasting impression. And that was when Instagram and stuff was really becoming more and more important for models. And that's how I initially got into social media. It was very much, I need to make sure I'm on my A game on this. Because it's clearly going to be an important part of my modelling career.
And would you say, bring your friends and that you're a circle of people, that's what kind of built up your interest in open skincare?
I always loved it. I had really bad skin when I was a teenager. I really struggled with acne.
I've almost like dewy, angelic skin.
Oh, it's actually been all right recently, but it's something I've always struggled with, and especially when I was a teenager, I had really bad acne. And so that's kind of how I got really into skincare and makeup, and that was like, I got super into YouTube and watching YouTube videos about it. So I was really, really already very interested in skincare and makeup, and then modelling on top of that.
Yeah,
and then
it just all flops nice. Yeah,
absolutely. And like, you'd meet these makeup artists and you'd be like, I just want to talk to you all day. I want to talk about what you put on my skin, like, what foundation would you recommend? How should I do my eyeshadow? Like,
because I always look at that, because I think the magic they're working on red carpet and shoots completely change face state. So how does it stay on one day?
Yeah.
I walked down the road in my foundation, off my nose, I've got a sooner. One of my eyebrows just isn't there anymore. Like, how do they do it?
I think I'll probably learn more than I even realise off makeup artists, just because when you're sitting in that chair, and sometimes, you know, when I was really busy, it'd be like 3 or 4 times a week I'd be sitting getting ready. And often when you're shooting, you don't just have your makeup done once, you're doing like sometimes like 8 looks. So like,
oh, wow.
The amount of makeup taken off and on and off and on and off and on, especially with editorial. And so you've got loads of time, and it takes a while to do makeup for shoots. Like, you will be in that makeup chair sometimes like 4 hours, 5 hours, depending on the look. That's a lot of time, like one-on-one time with a makeup artist to like chat and to learn about. Yeah.
What would you say are your hero? Let's do makeup first, or hero products for the makeup world.
Oh, it's so hard. So,
I know, that's a really difficult one. Mine changes all the time. Well, like a hero.
I have to say, it's not my favourite foundation anymore. However, it's a foundation that I have brought religiously. I always have it in my collection, and I've had it since I was 14. And it's Bourjois Healthy Mix.
I've heard of this. Yeah.
This foundation has been around for
ever.
And I have, like,
any love time.
I always have shade 51, 52, and 53 at all times. Yeah, like, right, I have it all the time. It's like, I don't know, it's like £8. Like, it's,
oh my gosh, really?
It's so cheap, and it's really, really good. It's not like my, like, now it's replaced by NARS Sheer Glow. I love NARS Sheer
Glow. That is my NARS Sheer Glow in Santa Fe is mine.
Yeah.
I've been out for about 8 years now.
Yeah. And that, I love. But I have to say, like, probably the makeup product I've bought the most of in my life would be that Bourjois Healthy Mix. And it's because, you know, the makeup artist Lisa Eldridge.
Yes.
So she's one of the people that I used to watch religiously on YouTube.
Love that.
She's insanely talented. Like, she's amazing. And she ranted and raved about it. And I was like, well, that's my budget. Like, yeah. I'm a teenager. I was 14.
That's the thing, because I'm seeing if you're going to so many castings and, like, some will need to be full-faced, some will need to be bare. Like, you don't want it. You can't afford to be spending £40, £50 on foundation.
Exactly. And, like, especially when I was at school and stuff, like, £8 is a reasonable amount. Like,
yeah, it's like, actually,
yeah, like, I couldn't be, like, going and spending £30 on a foundation.
But it's better than that. Oh, my God, look at that horrible mousse.
Dream Matte Mousse.
Please.
Right. Variety.
Triggered.
Yeah.
I see that. I'm like, I just remember the sheer difference of.
I never got it, and I'm so glad that I never went there. So
I just to use it for shows. And
is it really full coverage?
Yeah, it's thick. That stuff is amazing.
Yeah.
That's quite good because my mum was always very good and very, like, bougie with makeup.
See, my mum is the biggest convoy ever. My mum doesn't wear, like, she does now because I kind of got her into it a little bit more. Yeah, like, I'm such a girly girl in many, many ways.
Yeah.
And my mum wasn't, but that's why I learned all about makeup through YouTube and then and blogs and then through makeup artists.
I wish I went to the same, but yeah, my mum is.
She's seen pictures of your mum. She's like, honestly, like, doled up.
She's a queen, and she only gave herself credit for it. My first foundation, like, everyone else's was the mousse, and I used to use it for shows because it was cheap.
Yeah.
And I wanted to feel independent and buy my own stuff. But my first was Clinique. I know, it's 19. Everyone's in, like, Max Factor.
And you're just like, a little bit of
Clinique. My mum took me into the bar in Roots. And they're doing my whole face, and I had no idea what I was doing. And as a family, we're not blessed with eyebrows. We have to draw them on because they don't exist. Me and Mum still go get them tinted together now because we're like, oh, our eyebrows are disappearing. Let's go.
Let's go and get them.
Let's sort them our boys out.
See, we've always had the opposite issue with our eyebrows.
Yeah, you bug, right?
We've all got very big eyebrows in my family.
I'm so jealous though. I spend so much money on, like, product to try it. Like, I wish I could do that feather and brow trend.
Oh, the soap brows.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love soap brows.
But I don't have enough of it. So I'm just having to stick with this.
Do you do pencil?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Either pencil or powder.
They look amazing.
Awesome. Shit. I went through a horrendous eyebrow stage that is documented publicly on social media.
Fantastic.
And basically, I dyed my hair brunette to piss off an ex-boyfriend.
Standard.
Yeah. And literally was so dark, so it was a box dye, it was awful.
Oh, I did that.
I had blonde eyebrows, so I just looked bald. I looked like a nerdy bowl wrap. So I was like, right, I need to sort this out. And my housemate is just use the eyebrow pens from Boots. They're so easy to use.
Oh, God.
And I've never done my eyebrow before.
Oh, God, it's always just big lines.
Horrible. But I could swear there's no fade. So I've got a brown Sharpie and draw them on. And no one told me.
Just
that is what I think.
That was a trend for a while. Like,
can you say, stop telling me. I've got a thick eyebrows to match my horrific hair. Horrific life choices. I've got a full fringe. And I've done no done.
Is it before or after the bob?
It's after the bob.
After the bob.
Yeah, we discussed about the bob dilemma. Like every girl goes through it where they're like, I'm going to try short hair.
I'm going to do a bob.
If you have a moon face, don't do it.
Don't do it. It's got a round face. Sweet from our
experience. We did not enjoy it. I like a new brush.
It was a disaster.
Absolutely not. Yeah, I'm growing my hair out as long as I can.
Yes, brilliant.
I've invested in the Beauty Works extensions.
Oh, yeah.
And I've not got them in now, but they're sensational. And the colour match, on point.
Oh, like, wow.
I'm rubbish as well. You literally just backcomb hair, slot them in, twit, boom.
That's amazing.
It doesn't feel heavy. I'm so fussy and stuff like
yeah.
that. And, like, my hair, I'm in daisy with my face. I'll take the time.
I'm the exact, like, I love makeup, love thing hair.
I was doing this.
Nice.
Kind of straighten my hair. I'd rather go
and hate
hybrid and just
try and let it out.
Headless shoot.
Yeah. Not BC lazy, but
just a bit more to you.
Yes.
So what are things that are just hyped up but actually aren't necessary?
Sheet masks.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Sheet masks.
Do they actually do anything or are you better?
They're just invested in a nice serum. That's all it is. It's like, it's a piece of fabric that has just had a crap ton of serum poured all over it. And then they're wasteful. Like, they're great fun. I love them. I've got loads. Like, they're great. They are not necessary. You do not need a sheet mask.
Nobody needs a sheet mask.
That's hype. Everything was out. What's not hype is SPF.
Do you know what?
SPF 50. Do not. Another. Like.
I feel so bad for this because I went through a massive sunbare face. Now I just invest in good fake tan. I'm like.
Yeah, I'm the same.
I'm still bad. I don't wear 50 on my body.
I don't wear 50 on my body, but my face.
Yeah, about a year ago, I saw the consequences of anything from not wearing. Because you just don't. I never wear SPF here in the UK.
That's the thing, isn't it? Like, you just have. And that is something you have to make a habit. And you've got to find a good one because not all SPFs are made equal.
Yeah.
Like, some of them are gross and they're tacky and they leave a white cast.
And they're really bad under makeup as well.
And they're awful under makeup and they peel and...
Because I went through a phase, everyone loves La Roche.
La Roche-Posay. Yeah. Yes, I love La Roche.
For some reason, I don't know if it was, I think it's the powder I was using at the time.
Is it the liquid one? Is it really thin? Like, is it called ultra fluid?
Yeah.
So at the moment I'm using, I can't remember what it's called, but it's like a balm. It's almost like a balm. It's thick. Like you wouldn't think it would be very good under makeup. And it is quite...
It's better.
It's quite thick, but you can really work it in and it's really nice. I would recommend.
I'm gonna try that. Yeah, because mine just didn't work with the powder I was using.
Sometimes you do, like, it does vary. Like, you will find that certain formulas don't mix well. Yeah. But yeah, and so Bioderma have a nice SPF 50.
Oh, I'll look into that because I like that.
Neutrogena also, man, a really good SPF.
Yeah, because I think a lot of the time we think we have to spend a ton of
money. That was, I'm just going to say, like a hype versus habit thing. Like, my favourite skincare products are under 20 quid.
Love that. And favourite brand?
CeraVe.
Yeah.
I don't know how to pronounce them.
For ages, I called it Keras.
Yeah, I mean, that's very politically good. Carab, love Carab. I got sent their some of their products and I was like, well, that's fucking boring. Like, because it looks so clinical.
Yeah.
And I just was like, nah, I want my like super over marketed. Like,
that's where like Charlotte Tilbury sucks me in. Because like, it's just so bougie and I'm like,
I would get said loads of stuff and it'd be amazing. And obviously, like, that looks super clinical and we'll put that to the side. And then I can't really remember why I reached for it, but one day I was just like, well, fuck it, I'll try this out. And I was like, well, that's the best cleanser I've ever used. Like, and I was like, how much is this? It's like £8.
It might be Ordinary, a lot of people rave about that.
The Ordinary is great. I prefer the Inky List.
Right, I'm just so interesting. I read a blog about the best hyaluronic acids to use.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been using The Ordinary for years. So tacky.
Yeah, so that's the issue with The Ordinary is amazing. Also, The Ordinary is, everything is so separate. So, like, if you want to get that's why the Inky List is kind of like a step up from The Ordinary. Like, it does you a day serum.
Yeah.
Which isn't, you don't have to use one hyaluronic and one vitamin C and one peptides and one It's a little bit more expensive, and it's got everything, and it's a really well-rounded day serum.
Oh, that would be a good thing to look into.
They've got loads. And so, yeah, I would say, but that's the biggest one. Like, my favourite products are under £20. My favourite brands are CeraVe, The Inculus, The Ordinary, La Roche-Posay, Bioderma.
Yeah.
I'm not leaving anything out. But they're all, like, you can get them in Boots.
Which is so good, because...
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that I definitely fall into that. I'm like, well, if it's expensive, it's going to be better.
And it's so... It's sold. You are really with skincare paying for, I think, makeup to a degree.
It depends on the item, does it? Like, I wouldn't, there's certain things I'm skin applying, but then.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really, my eyes are really sensitive, so I can't even cheat the mascara.
Yeah. And you know, you learn about your face and what, you know, and products work differently on different people and stuff. Different people like different kinds and looks and stuff. Also, Elf Cosmetics.
Yes!
They're coming out with some great skincare. Like, not all of it's amazing, but a lot of it really, really nice.
Yeah, so if anyone was new to skincare, talk about Caroline Hirons, I'd like got obsessed. So I just went through and was like, right, what do I need?
What does she like?
Yeah. I'm going to go crazy. And then I just keep swapping and changing and then see what's on sale if they around with stuff.
Yeah.
If someone was new to skincare, where's like a good place to start?
In terms of like a routine?
Yeah.
I think you don't even really ever need to get... I think simple is better for most people anyway. Like, my skin can't take too much. I've really slowed down on reviewing products now because...
Yeah, because bless you.
My beginner would just be in a constant state. Because I'm like, and I wanted to review all these things, but morning, gentle cleanse, day serum with a vitamin C, and moisturiser and SPF. And evening... I would do an oil or a balm cleanse, like a cleansing wash, serum to treat. So you might have, I don't know, like I used a treatment for hyperpigmentation from like acne scars and then a moisturizer on top, but you might have active acne. So you might need to use something that will deal directly with that. You might have super dehydrated skin. So you might need a serum specific to that.
That's one thing that really interested me is because I had horrendous skin from school and I know it was stress induced.
Yes.
But my skin's always been really dry, so I could never understand how I had acne
and dry skin.
And then I was always avoid oily products because in your head you're like, well, if I've got spots, I don't want oil, then actually.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, I wouldn't recommend using, if you have acne, I wouldn't recommend using oil as a moisturiser on your skin. But I think everybody should be oil or balm cleansing in the evening.
Yeah.
Every night.
An oil cleanser was like an absolute game.
Oil cleanser is like, I couldn't imagine.
Life without it.
Yeah, because like, and I do it whether I'm wearing makeup or not, like I'll oil a balm cleanse first at night and it gets everything off and you're not scrubbing it.
How the double cleanse as well.
Double cleanser is.
Oh my God, wow. Yeah. Like literally went to work right, you can get like a pound flannel and I got like a flannel for every day.
Yeah, that's exactly what you need.
And with cleanse, so I take my makeup off. And then before, that would be all I would do. And I would turn and do everything.
Cleanse after.
Then you cleanse after. Now,
okay. I always think you're cleaning off your makeup and you're cleaning your skin.
Yeah.
Or you're cleaning off the dirt and the SPF and the makeup or whatever's landed on your skin throughout the day. And then your second cleanse is you're actually...
getting in there.
Yeah.
And it's madness because you're like, oh, this should be super clean. And then when you start using, I bought a white can on because I wanted to see.
Yeah.
God. And the whole thing about jokes about makeup wipes. That's just moving it around.
Literally, makeup wipes are the devil.
And it's why my skin will be so dry.
Or tugging at your skin, you're rubbing at your skin. Like, I remember when I was at school and I used to wear a lot of foundation to cover up my acne. I would go through like 5 or 6 makeup wipes. Like,
oh my gosh, easily.
Like, without any issue and scrubbing at my skin.
So to round up that before I go into my final question, what would be your advice for someone that is, or just your opinion, I guess, in general, of not knowing what you want to do, finding what you want to do, and then changing? Because I feel like this is something we don't talk about a lot. And I know that I delved into it elements in the sense that I always wanted to be an actor, but I felt the pressure to do the traditional route.
Sure.
Kind of did it, hated it. Completely rebelled.
Yeah.
And just fucked off and traveled the world.
I should do.
Pursued acting.
love it, but I have a love-hate relationship with it.
Yeah.
And now I'm trying to reclaim it and find my balance of being creative and being in that industry, but still being able to support myself and have other interests outside of it. So what would you say is, what's your opinion on it? What have you learned through falling into an industry you absolutely love and then completely building this whole brand and life for yourself out of nowhere and then falling in love with something else?
I've always, I've always been a big believer in going with your gut.
Yeah.
I think whenever I've not trusted my gut and gone against it is when shit's happened. Yeah.
Well, it's like when you do all your red flags, right?
So I don't know, I'm not a big believer in everything works out, because not everything works out. And there is no regret. You get dealt cards in life, and then what you choose to do with them, you choose to do with them. But I do think, have faith in yourself and your abilities and what you can do, and go with your gut. And, if you go and maybe do something, give it your all. And
use your full ass, not half.
Yeah, exactly. If you're going to do it, if your gut says to do it, then do it properly.
Yeah. I think that's really cool. I don't think, you're a female girl boss. that's most people's dream, is to work, but that's half a freedom.
Yeah. I'm lucky. I forget that. I don't. Yeah. Yeah, it is good. It's not always easy.
We definitely just love that.
We did.
The freelance life's not the easiest
thing. It's not. It's got its ups and downs.
What would be your next big goal?
I'm kind of in a funny old...
But you also need to be happy to be very well.
I'm happy where I am. I always want to be more. I always want to do the next thing. I have probably an issue with it's probably not necessarily always a not always a good thing, because I never appreciate where I am.
Yeah, celebrate how
fun. Yeah, and enjoy life for what it is right now. But I'm kind of torn, and I could do both, because I plan to do both now. As to whether I want to expand the digital marketing and become more of an agency. Which actually pre-COVID is something that I was very close to doing.
I'm actually going to send you my CV.
And then I feel probably, I had a lot of hospitality clients, and of course when COVID hit, everything shut down. So that kind of stopped that in its tracks. But now as I'm building the business back up again, hopefully, the next few months to a year, I'll be in that position as to whether I want to go on to that next step. But that is a huge having employees and having the responsibility of other people. It's a huge thing. And I'm 26, so I want to really enjoy the rest of my
I'm saying this because it's look at all of the incredible stuff you've done.
I do feel working for myself, being freelance, as we've discussed, is a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And it's stressful. And then also, I'm thinking, I still want to enjoy, I still want to go out, I still want to live.
It's like, do you ever want to work to, which one is it?
Yeah, live for work. Yeah. So, I don't know, that's a balance. And then the other thing that I really want to do is... I like writing, much like you, we're very similar. So I have my beauty blog, and do I want to go into beauty writing and food? I used to do restaurant reviews. I've got my first one coming up next week, postcode.
That's exciting. I'll always use four, is
it? I can't remember the name. No, I can. It's a sushi sushi place in Chinatown. So I've actually got a couple, and then I've got a vegan chocolate cafe in Angel. That's exciting. I've done both now for a while, just on a small scale. It's kind of do I focus on one thing and put everything into that, or do I keep straddling both worlds? And I don't know, it's exciting. I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see. Watch this space. What is this generation? She's like, I've got it for a while.
How many more animals am I going to get?
I don't know. Next time I interview her, she's going to have my crinkling. Maybe like a may rat.
Like the moment I'm looking at.
Rats.
Yeah, I love that.
No, we had a rat, not a pet. It was, we called it Louis. Mm-hmm. And then he must have come from the depths of London and really enjoyed eating my cocoa cups on the side. So he was the size of a...
My ex-boyfriend had a mouse called Dave. We actually, I think I've called it Dave. I think it was 7 miles.
Oh, God. Yeah, I think sometimes it makes it feel a bit better to know.
I would have kept, like, I would...
You're so good down there.
I fucking love all animals. I'm ridiculous.
I'm good too, but apart from, like, it's rats and mice.
To love rats.
And anything with too many legs or eyes.
Actually, insects. I do draw a line.
It
can't like, do it.
Why have you got ever legs? Do you need AIs?
No, they don't. That's it's greedy.
Like, go away.
What about reptiles?
Oh, and what is
same. And bearded dragons. I'd love a bearded dragon. And a turtle or a tortoise. Gone. I can't fit anymore.
I know. And the thing is, like, I really wanted a tortoise because it really easy to look after. One of the yoga teachers that I'm doing my course with has one.
They're so cool.
And he's so cool. And there's a picture of me, he's like smiling at the camera. And I was like, I need that.
Yeah.
And live to 100, so he would outlive me.
Oh my God, he was like an heirloom.
I know, I was the eldest of the camp. Like, what? Why don't I live to 100? Because you're not a tortoise.
You're not a tortoise. And you're also very clumsy. And you weigh everything.
You thread your shell.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're due to the tortoise. You would be honest with
me. He would.
And my final question for you, aside from what pet are you going to get then, is what's the best bit of advice you've ever been given? It will mean money, it can be DNC, it can be...
I know. No, this is not... I wish I had something funny. My granddad said it, my mum says it, and we say it to each other. It's been work hard and be nice to people.
Oh, I love that. Super simple.
Yeah, just work hard, be nice. Don't be a dickhead.
Yeah, don't be a knob. Like, honestly, life is too short. There's enough assholes in this world.
But work hard, be nice to people. Fucking...
Yeah. And this is your opportunity to tell everyone where they can find you, or social media handles, websites, self-plug, and...
No, it's the plug.
This is your moment.
So, probably Instagram. I'm Nancy Elza, N-A-N-C-Y-E-L-Z-A, and you can find my blog through that. It's all Nancy Elza, so www.nancyelza.co.uk.
Consistent with the branding, people.
Consistent with the branding. That's where you can find me.
Yay! Thank you so much for being my friend in person.
Oh, thank you for coming.
I have the best night.
Oh, I'm feeling so glad. Aussies feel active.
I love it. I'm probably editing.
So much going on.
I don't see what I mean. If you have my headphones, it's like,
what is that? Oh no, that's Aussie.
To stay in the know on Jeans and a Nice Top podcast, follow us on Instagram at Jeans and a Nice Top Pod, and make sure to hit that follow and subscribe button for the latest drops and guest reveals. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll catch you on next week's episode, Podalters.
This has been an I Am Listening exclusive podcast. For more information, head over to our website, iam-listening.co.uk.